Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSR 2 Plenary Number 86 on the 9th of October, 2019. The call begins at 1404 UTC. Attending the call today is Ram, Kaveh, Navid, Lauren, Kirianne, Norm, and Russ. Apologies from Danko and Boban. Attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer, Nagar, Steve, and Brenda. Technical writer Heather has joined. Today's call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Okay, sorry for the late change to the agenda. I got word yesterday that Eric and Casey were not able to connect to sort out the issues that were raised on the previous call. So we pushed that one agenda item to next week. So the first thing on the agenda this week is the request for information that ICANN sent out last week regarding getting audit services. Since we have some recommendations regarding audit, we thought it would be important to highlight that this is going on. The RFI is out on the website. If you click the link in the agenda, announcement, and in the announcement includes a link to the RFI itself. So I hope people had a chance to take a look at that. Is there any way that we need to filter this in other than including it in the findings as something that's going on related to audit?
So this is Lauren. So I had a quick look through this. And I think what is interesting with this is if you look at the tables, which are point four, that is page 5 of 8, according to my PDF reader, there is very little, if anything, in there that is like directly related to security. Nevertheless, it might be interesting to get some information on why they're doing this, what their plans are, et cetera, so that our recommendations that go into this direction can be informed by, you know, the kind of process they're doing. But I don't think this would be like an insanely complicated thing to do, more along the lines of, okay, can we have like a 20-minute chat to understand what you're doing here and how this process works. I mean, at least these are my like 2 cents.
Does anyone else think that we need to have a chat to understand where they're going, to understand whether we should just point it out in the findings versus make a recommendation about a slight change in course?
Yeah, this is Norm. Yeah, I think this is a pretty standard process for ICANN. They do a RFI, then an RFP. I don't see anything particularly special about this other than they're looking to outsource some of their functions. I think that's fairly obvious.
So this is Lauren again. Yeah, I kind of agree. And again, like if you look at pages 5 to 8, right, there is nothing really security related in this call. It just came up and I thought it would be useful to at least have a look and see what the others think. As I said, like the only thing I can see would be a short conversation about their process, but I'm not sure how necessary it is.
Well, the one thing that jumped out at me is in section 4.2, the audit will cover the data escrow requirements, which does have, you know, a continuity of operations implication.
Hi, this is Carrie. The only thing I noted the point you made just now, Ross. But I was just thinking about it's just a good opportunity with them doing the audit now. But if it is that any of our recommendations requires a secondary audit, we would have to just ensure that whatever we're recommending our audit to be, if it's a matter of more along the lines of security, because it says that the audit is in relation to compliance obligations specific to the ICANN agreements. So it's whatever it's outlined in the agreements. What we're recommending is for the agreements to be updated and have more security considerations in them. So I mean, for me, it's not a matter of needing to be, to get as much, get more information about it. It's just to look out for the audit results when it comes out. I think that's the crux for us.
Yeah, this is Norm again. My one concern in this process would be is that they, proceed with the RFP and then sign a contract with someone externally, and then not be able to modify that contract, so that then we'd be stuck once again with contracts. So I guess what I'm saying, it might be worthwhile to say, is there enough flexibility in this process to allow for changes or updates to the auditing requirements?
Well, it seems to me that it must be, in my reading of the auditing against consensus policies. And so obviously those can change.
They do change, albeit painfully slowly.
Slowly, yes, indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, I think that the way our discussions have been going, there seems to be some sense of urgency to start addressing some of the security and the abuse steps.
Hi, this is Carrie again. Just in terms of like agreements changing and stuff, we would probably, the only, I think, question we could probably ask is what period are they auditing from? If it is that it's something that is going to be an ongoing thing when they finally select the person, or if it's just going to be a one-off audit for a specific period with those parameters that they have outlined in the RFP, then I think it wouldn't affect us that much, because what we're recommending is for future changes, not for what. So it would be that the next audit they do after this would have to take into account whatever recommendations we make now. So if it's a retroactive audit, yeah, it wouldn't really affect us.
So I happen to know that IANA picked an audit firm, used it for 5 years, then went through a RFP process to pick another audit firm that they intend to use for 5 years, then they will go through an RFP process and so on. So I'm assuming they have a similar model in mind, although it doesn't quite tell us that.
Well, I think that's the only question I would ask for us, it would be that, because then Norm's concern could be taken up, where if it is that this is an audit firm that's going to be around for a longer period, and not for, like, if they're not coming in to audit a specific period, but they're going to be an auditor on call to do their audit, then Norm's concern would become relevant just to ensure that any future reports that comes out from review teams such as ours or any other after us within that period, that they could take into account some of the specific considerations that relate to the ICANN agreements. So it's just to make sure that we at least just flag to them to see whenever they do contract, what that contracting period would look like.
This is Casey. I don't have my reading glasses, so I can't find the hands up thing. I'm a little concerned about that we're talking about mechanisms rather than results. So we have some recommendations in draft recommendations already about compliance and auditing and sort of trying to mitigate the inherent conflict issue by having an external party audit. Audit the contractual compliance aspect. So by that measure, this is a responsive recommendation even before we get the report out. But the concern I have is when SSR3 comes along and has to decide whether this audit was effective at achieving its goals. So I'm hoping that our what we take out of this exercise is that we make sure that that recommendation has something in it that is measurable that allows SSR3 to decide whether the execution was effective. And I'm not sure it matters. Maybe the flexibility in the contract that Norm is talking about is a means to that end, but I think we need to focus on the end. How does SSR3 know that whatever was done in this space was effective? And how does the community know that it was effective, which kind of should be the same thing?
Hi, Casey, this is Carrie. I agree. I understand where you're coming from, but remember that this audit is not like a kickoff of our recommendations. It couldn't be used as a measurement to whatever you recommend for the audit, even though it's related, because the specific terms that they would have for this wouldn't take into account our recommendations any at all. Well, so I think the agreement we have is like regarding Norm's concern that at least whatever they do now, at least it would be flexible enough to take into account any additional audit requirements or recommendations coming out of any other team. So,
okay, look, yeah. I hear what you're saying. I think that this doesn't dovetail exactly with our recommendation because it's coming before. So of course it takes into account what's in the recommendation, but having reviewed a lot of ICANN's own assessments of its own implementations and knowing how overwhelmed they are with recommendations, if I were ICANN and I got a recommendation about auditing and I knew that I had just started a new audit thing that was trying to in spirit cover those issues, I would say this has already been implemented, let's just see how it goes.
Like, gotcha.
Right, so I want to make sure that when ICANN sees that, if they say, oh, the way that recommendation is going to be evaluated is whether it does XYZ at the end. And if I don't have that in the contracts, I better go get them in the contracts now. And that's what I'm concerned about, that our recommendation is very clear about what the output should be and how it's measured.
Gotcha.
That makes sense to me. But if you look at the link that's in the RFI regarding the contractual compliance audit program, you'll see that they've had a plan that was put forward in 2009 and another plan that was put forward in 2013, and then the new registry agreement audit plan and the legacy registry agreement audit plan. So this is something that they're building on that's been going on for a long time.
Gotcha. Then I think, this is Casey, then I think it behooves us to explicitly say that in our report and say what we want that is not that, like why that is not achieving the goal that we are talking about in the recommendations about audit.
That is exactly what I was going to say. If there's something that these audits aren't fulfilling, we need to say what that is. Because okay. Then the community and SSR3 can say, oh, now that they've updated the audit, is it providing that? That visibility, that assurance, that, you know, whatever. However we, yeah. Lauren, we've taken this a long way from a short phone call to really being careful about what we want out of audit.
Seems to me it means somebody has to go look at all those links that you just mentioned, which maybe you want to throw this to the sub team and we have a call about it and do some research, because I'm not in a position to answer that question right now.
Okay, I will send the link that I was just talking about to the list. Okay, let's move to the next topic, since I'm not hearing anyone else trying to speak. Okay. Last week, we had a proposed text for some comments to the CCT implementation plan. And then during the week, we got an email from Zarco saying we shouldn't send them at all. Rather, we should each, as individuals, send whatever part of that we personally agree with and send it forward on our own title rather than as the review team. So given that we have two different views here, I would like to today come to an agreement of what we're going to do, whether we're going to send something as a team or whether we're going to do this as individuals. So obviously we know that Denise is on one side of that because she wrote it for the team, and Zarco's on the other side of that because of his email. I'd like to hear from others.
Hi, Russ, this is Eric. I'm not in the Zoom room, so I can't put my hand up, but I put my hand up.
Go ahead and talk.
I would be curious. I'm not in the room, so I don't know who's on the call exactly, but I'd be curious to hear more from Zarco and anyone else who thinks we shouldn't make a comment. Just a little more about why. I mean, I want to be receptive and resonate with the perspective, but I do recall we had some conversations back before the pause. And it was a sort of, I thought, a different spirit back then, and I might be misunderstanding, and I certainly think things can change, but maybe if the opposition to making a comment as a team could sort of, you know, kick off a sort of explanation why it feels like that's a bit of a reversal in my recollection. Thanks.
This is Norm. I'm just chiming in because I don't feel strongly one way or the other on this, hence my silence. But I think we had talked about before of saying that the SSR2 group could comment on process type issues as a team, but anything specific should be done on an individual basis. But we seem to be departing from that. We seem to be back to we're commenting on everything as a team.
So Norm, just to make sure I'm understanding your comment, is there anything in the proposed letter you think steps outside of what you just said?
No, but I think Zarco's point was that it's perhaps outside of our scope to do.
Yeah,
that.
His word I think was remit, but okay.
Yes.
Right. All right, somebody else was about to speak.
Casey, I wrote my comments to the list. I didn't think that the current draft really addressed the question that ICANN was asking, which wasn't about the CCT report in general, but just about the six recommendations that have been processed. So I don't know what, I mean, I got the sense from the folks that posted to the list that that part of the issue with making a group comment was going to be the challenge of getting consensus on what was actually in the text. And my concern about what's in the text is it's not responsive to the request from ICANN. Which doesn't mean we couldn't make a group comment that is the text that's there now, but it doesn't seem like it should be in response to this public comment. It should be to this call for public comment, it should be some separate communication.
So just a letter to the board as opposed to a response to this?
Yes.
Because what it's really about is what about the other recommendations?
That is certainly my view. And indeed, that would be fine with me to mention that. As I said in about my comments on recommendation one, if I were writing a comment on recommendation one, it would say, there's no way to really comment on recommendation one right now because it's meaningless without the other recommendations that are about the specific data that's going to be collected that's going to make some impact. Recommendation one by itself is an empty shell. So, for example, but yeah, I'm we probably have to decide what's the most effective way to get the message across that we want to get across. And it feels a little bit like this public comment process is not the right way to get that particular message across, but I don't think.
So is your concern, I just want to make sure, because I think responding to the public comment or sending a note to the board gets the thing, but your concern is when they try and do the comment resolution, they'll go, this is a non sequitur, it's not about, this document doesn't talk about that. So there's nothing, so it gets put in the bin.
And there's a bit of that we didn't take the time to actually comment on the 6 recommendations that was asked about, because ICANN is trying to move this process forward, and instead of trying to, you know, support that process, we're just still over here on the left side of the field complaining about the rest of it, which again, I'm not denying that there's an issue there. I'm just wondering if this is the high road to dealing with it.
Right. I think the a subtext to this is, hey, what we're really saying is how we want to see our recommendations and the recommendations of any other review team dealt with. And we don't think CCC is the model, is kind of the way I read the letter.
We should make it more explicit.
Hey, this is Denise.
Welcome.
Could you put me in the queue? Hi, sorry to be late.
Go ahead.
I think the last time the team talked about this, at least I got the sense that people were interested in addressing process. It sounds like, just picking up on the last, 5 minutes of conversation, and do correct me if I'm wrong, that people are interested in perhaps sending a note to the board on process and then making some more substantive comments about the implementation plan. Is that cool? Did I get that right?
That is the proposal that we have kind of worked ourselves into without getting quite formal about it yet.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to take comments and red lines and work with others who are interested in crafting, I guess, an updated draft of both for people to look at.
This is Jennifer. I'm just reading Naveed's comment that he typed in the chat. He says, I believe we should not post a public comment as a team. Naveed, I don't know if you have audio, if you're able to talk. I don't see your hand raised, but please go ahead. Sounds like Naveed doesn't have audio.
But he is he's in the Zarco side of this. The team should not send a comment on the implementation report, is how I interpret what you read.
He just typed into the chat, a letter to the board might serve better.
Can Naveed, can you type, this is Casey, can you type one sentence of what's driving that recommendation? Is it, do you think that we could get consensus along the lines of the text that's been proposed and the comments that have been proposed in the email and the Google Doc now, if it's a letter to the board? So the issue isn't consensus on the message, but it's whether it's appropriate for the public comment, or is the issue, or is there an issue you have with consensus on the text?
Hi, can you hear me? This is Naveed.
Yes. Okay.
Hi. I think we should. We are actually trying to handle this issue of what the board would think our recommendations might be in a proactive manner, and that might be too ahead of time by commenting on something about the implementation report of a previous review that might not have a direct relation with how a board might think or might see our recommendations. So I just typed two other issues that are relevant, because I see some of the team members still are not on the same page about what our remit should be. And this is like too late to discuss what mandate or remit we have and what we should do and what not we should do. I don't know how to solve this problem. The second is I also see that we are trying to be too bothered about how the board is going to be seeing our recommendations. And some of the team members are suggesting to cut short the recommendation just because the board would not accept that. So I don't agree with this approach, because I think we have the remit to comment within our remit and to make recommendation about whatever we think is necessary, without thinking about how many of them are going to be accepted, and just cutting short because there are too many is not going to be a good idea.
This is Denise. So I think, you know, part of the impetus for recalling previous discussions about this is that there are a number of, you know, pretty important process, if you will, operational issues in how the board handled the CCT review. It was of utmost concern our two review team members, particularly those on the ground in Kobe. We raised a number of issues about how the board interacts with and does due diligence on and responds to the community reviews and their recommendations. This took up a substantial amount of the team's time, particularly around the Kobe period. Consequently, and then for those who weren't there, and we even had a meeting with several board members for an hour or so and talked about this. Consequently, because, you know, how the board handles the CCT review is, for better or worse, directly related to, you know, how they're expected to handle the SSR 2 review. I don't know about you, but I'm not up for spending 3 years and having the board largely ignore the work that this team does. So that's where I come down on this issue. I think a particular concern is that all the issues that we raised and the discussions that we had with board members and CCT review team members and others in Kobe and subsequently resulted in really no clear commitments or directions from the board or staff. So my concern is that really nothing has changed and that we are indeed working hard to finish a report that may be largely ignored. Now, if we don't agree with that approach and we feel some specific things should be done by the board in how it treats our review or all the reviews, I think now is the time to talk about that, and whether we do it in the form of a public comment or in the form of a note to the board, I'm neutral about that, but that's where I come down on the issue. Thanks.
So what I'm hearing is that some people are concerned that the comment to the implementation plan is a problem, but I'm not hearing anyone say that a communication of these concerns in a letter is a problem. So does it mean that we have a bunch of silent people who are thinking something else, or that we should be working on a letter to the board?
Hey, this is Carrie. I think I would lean more towards a letter to the board, only because taking into account all the concerns raised by Zarco and even Navid, I think the bottom line is, as a team, us signaling to the board that the fiduciary responsibility we see in them, we anticipate that whenever ours come to them, they would respect what is coming. I think it's just more a signaling. I do support Naveed. I don't think it should be a public comment, because it's not about stirring up the community to start this feeling of mistrust of the board's ability to, or board's willingness to do this. I think that's not what we should be preempting before our report comes out, not to kind of set a stage before we see what happens actually. So I support a letter to the board. With regards to what goes in, and even Denise's concern about the time we spend writing the report, I do lean towards Naveed that I think shifting the focus of not being worried about what will be implemented by the board, but making sure that what we've recommended is implementable, so that whichever team comes after can hold them accountable, and then the team after that can hold them accountable again, I think should be the focus. I think Casey said it again, that the more and more we write is to just make sure whatever's in the report is measurable. And I think once we've done that without concern as to whether or not they have a million to implement or not, it just shows them that they do have a lot of problems more than anything else. It's not a matter that persons are seeing it. It would be remiss of us, having done all this research and all these findings, to not include it as an appendix or include it somewhere, if it is that we say, okay, we found 100 things, but given what's on your plate, we recommend that you focus on these 10 areas, because these 10 areas are critical areas. If that's the approach we take, I'm fine as well, but I think it would be remiss to remove just out of fear of non-implementation more than, hi, you have an issue, deal with it strategically, and make our recommendations measurable so that it can be held accountable.
Hi, this is Eric. Sorry, again, don't have a hand ability, but just to sort of, I think I agree with what Carrie-Anne said, and I'd actually add my two cents on top of that is, I think we've already had a little bit of discussion, and I think next week we're poised to have follow-on discussion potentially about what can happen to recommendations if we try and lump them all together. In some cases, I think it can wind up making what we do say a little bit harder to understand, whereas if there was multiple recommendations around a certain topic, but they were separate for a good reason, it could look daunting, like, oh my gosh, there's a lot more recommendations. But you know, we keep bringing up this notion of the difference between a recommendation and implementation. It could be that there's like N really specific recommendations that, you know, can illustrate what they're talking about because they're separate, whereby the implementation is, I can do all those things with one item. It doesn't mean that there should have been just one recommendation. So I think potentially someone saying, there's too many recommendations, how could I ever possibly do them all? I mean, any of us that have dealt with task lists know that when you sit down and you look at all the tasks, you realize you can knock a bunch of them out at the same time. So maybe we really do need to be very careful about coalescing recommendations because of the general pros of, you know, lots of recommendations are hard. I think that isn't necessarily the case, but I think if we make recommendations that don't make sense because we're trying to reduce that number, the root of all evil is early optimization.
Anyone else want to share a point of view?
Hey, Russ, can I just make sure I'm not just kind of lost on things by sort of maybe backing us up a minute? I feel like we're sort of hitting on a couple different topics, but before we move on from the whether we should write a letter or how we should or shouldn't communicate, I think that I'm not sure if I heard how we actually resolved that or if we did, but I think the last thing we were on about with that was the sort of, I think it's a valid concern that the result of our work won't necessarily get ingested, or that we will have to sort of protract our tenure until we can actually do something that fits in whatever mold that we don't even necessarily have a clear view of. Can we just circle back to, I think I heard, or at least my perspective was, that we were writing a letter that sort of was going to underscore for everyone that we want to produce results that we think will be ingested. And there's data point about what happened to CCT, which doesn't mean we have to be CCT experts. We just use as a data point for, you know, we do want our work to be productive and useful. So, I mean, do people on the team object to that general direction that we want to sort of try and underscore that via a public statement that we want our work to actually be meaningful, and then we're just trying to find the right words for that? Or are some people thinking we shouldn't even say that as a team?
So I think you were asking me. I think we've come to the point where we're going to write a letter to the board instead of a public comment to the CCT implementation plan. And I think we're trying to make two points. We want our work to be ingested, but also that we think that the way the CCT report was handled is not appropriate, and we're hoping that our report and the reports of other review teams will be handled in a different manner.
This is Jennifer, just reading Naveed's comment in the chat. He says, why don't we schedule a meeting with the board in Montreal? Instead, Ram Krishna said plus one. I'm not sure if that was in relation to Naveed's comment, but Danko has said, I believe that Montreal calendar is full or almost completely full.
Sounds like we need to do a letter then.
Yeah, this is Denise. I'm sorry, I'm in transit, so I'm not in the Zoom room. Yeah, dialogue is always, can be useful. I think since we did meet with the board on these points and there was no follow-up and no action, I think it's important to put this in writing and seek a written response as well. Of course, I would also support meeting with the board if people feel that would be useful, but I think we also need to put this in writing. A lot of it.
So what I think we should do is turn the proposed text into a letter, making the points we've talked about today. I think Denise volunteered to do that, but she also asked for others to help. So are there others that want to be on that sub-team?
I think Mr. Matagoro also has volunteered to help.
Good point. Thank you.
So this is Denise. If I could propose that we get any comments or red lines by Friday, and then we'll work with Mr. Matagoro to turn around a new draft for consideration and finalization next week. If that sounds good.
That sounds great. Okay. So everybody, please send comments to the existing text by the end of the week, and we'll talk about the letter next week. We will also talk about the recommendations that got bumped off of today's call. My hope is that coming out of that discussion, we will have the final list of recommendations that we're going to work into the report.
This is Jennifer, just reading some comments on the chat again. Naveed just on the board meeting, he said it's a long meeting. We should be able to find a short spot. I remember we agreed in Kobe to have periodic meetings with the board, and Danko said, I'm all for the meeting, and we will see him for sure. So, yeah, I guess I'll bring that back for you all to discuss again and let us know how you want to move forward. Thanks.
If we're able to meet with the board caucus group, that would be a good thing to get onto the schedule. So if you could make the request, then hopefully we'll have a letter and we'll be able to talk about the contents of it to make sure there's no misunderstandings.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think we're to the any other business part of the agenda. Is there any?
No hands raised and no comments in the chat.
Then I think we're done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.